The algorithm thinks your Bruce Springsteen concert tickets should cost $5,000. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Mariel Segarra. Bruce Springsteen fans were appalled last month when Ticketmaster sold some seats for his upcoming concert tour for as much as $5,000. The average price was a couple $100, but for a certain subset of tickets, when demand spiked, so did the prices. Ticketmaster uses dynamic pricing algorithms, which calculate the price of a seat based on real-time demand. Among other things, it's an attempt to edge out ticket scalpers. There's been backlash on this before. Ride-sharing apps like Uber use this kind of algorithm too. It's called surge pricing, and it's kicked in during emergencies like a terrorist attack and a mass shooting. So prices went through the roof as people were trying to flee. Vivek Farias is a professor at MIT's Sloan School of Management. He explained the concept behind dynamic pricing.
You know, let's say I'm selling tickets, like the ones for the boss. I only have so many tickets to go around. I want to get as much as I can, for it. But, you know, I don't necessarily know, you know, in advance exactly how much I'm going to sell or how much people are willing to pay. I have a limited supply of something. I want to give it to the people that value it most. And so the quote unquote dynamic pricing algorithm comes in looking at that initial demand or the demand as we sort of go along and discerning from it, you know, exactly where demand's going to lie.
Are there interventions in dynamic pricing algorithms, like ways a human can intervene using their judgment?
So given all the noise around the Ticketmaster thing, there is going to be a lot of human oversight over what the algorithm is doing. I think absent that oversight, the algorithm is going to do what the algorithm does. And frankly, you know, that's kind of the story of Uber and Lyft. In the early days of price surges, there was a lot of noise around what was happening. And then they stepped in to say, wait a second, like maybe we need to actually, you know, have some controls over here because there are larger considerations.
It's interesting that the framework for it is that we're getting this product to people who value it the most. I don't know if that's exactly right. You know, I bet you somebody who's like a huge Springsteen fan, but just simply doesn't have the money to pay $4,000 because that's like 3 months rent for them or whatever, they might really value that concert more than the person who can afford to just drop the money like no big deal. Do you know what I mean?
I totally agree with you. Maybe one kind of very productive way of approaching this is to sort of look at this from the perspective of maybe we ought to actually be thinking about, you know, the long-term value, right? So I think in Ticketmaster's case, you're actively tracking whether this person is, you know, a quote-unquote fan or not. But it's not clear to me that you're actually tracking that from the perspective of maximizing long-term value. I think you're tracking that, you know, from the perspective of I don't want to sell tickets to a scalper. I think you turn that around and say, you know, what's the long-term value of this fan? This might lead to kind of a more productive paradigm where fans don't feel shortchanged.
That's Vivek Farias at MIT. And now for some related links. We'll have a story from Variety that summarizes the whole Bruce Springsteen situation on our website, marketplacetech.org, as well as the response Variety got from Ticketmaster, which says those pricey seats represent about 11% of overall sales and that the average ticket price was $262. Farias and I talked about dynamic pricing algorithms as a way to match a good or service, in this case, concert tickets, with the people who value it the most. And like I said, once prices reach a certain point, say $5,000, I'm not sure that willingness to pay is a good measure of how much a person values something. But the other question I had was, is that the right rubric anyway? As a society, should we allocate scarce resources based on who values them the most or who needs them the most? What about who would enjoy them the most? It probably depends on what the scarce resource is, right? Like Farias says, if it's a kidney, yeah, money shouldn't come into the equation. And the registries that decide these things weigh other factors.
There's in fact a metric called QALYs, quality adjusted life years, that ends up forming one rubric for thinking about, hey, who should the kidney go to? It's certainly not the person that's willing to pay the most for it, right? And somehow or the other, when we talk about kidneys, it feels so obvious. I don't need to convince you that I shouldn't be looking at dollars. But all of a sudden, I go from kidneys to looking at tickets to a concert. the story changes.
We also talked about the business case for and against this kind of dynamic pricing. It may mean Ticketmaster and Bruce Springsteen make more money on a concert, but it could also alienate fans of Springsteen, whose music does have a pretty working-class ethos. We'll also link to a story from Harvard Business Review about the pitfalls of dynamic pricing. Farias pointed out that these algorithms can be good for consumers. Think about Uber. Surge pricing might incentivize drivers to come out during a thunderstorm. That brings more supply to the market. So maybe you'll get a ride faster. Or get a ride, period. Jesus Alvarado, Sasha Fernandez, and Daniel Shin produce our show. Gary O'Keefe is our engineer. Amanda Peacher is the interim senior producer. I'm Marielle Segarra, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.